Okay, so James chapter 1, the portion that we'll have right before the pastoral prayer, Lord's Day morning, is verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So far, the reading of God's word. We are, if we are believers in Jesus, those who still have flesh in us, but we are no longer in the flesh. We are in Christ, and we are in the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. We belong to the age to come, and we live as servants of the Lord in this world that is still corrupt and decaying. Not only in the fallenness of the creation, but especially in the wickedness of the age. So we are those that are to have our hearts, our minds set on eternity, set in heaven. This was always the case with God's people, but we more so, who are united to Jesus through faith and indwelt by His Spirit. The oldest of the Psalms asks for a heart of wisdom. And when it does so, it asks for a heart that numbers our days, that considers the shortness of this life by comparison to eternity. That's the wisdom that is being asked for in James 1, 5 through 8. You have before it the trials of this life and their purpose to get us ready for glory, that we would be perfected by those trials, and therefore count the trials joy. What you have after it, before it returns to the subject of trial, is reminding those who are wealthy in this life not to be much impressed by the wealth of this life, and those who are poor in this life not to be overly burdened by poverty in this life. It is that eternal mindedness as we live, as we serve God and receive our lives as gifts from Him and assignments from Him. That is the wisdom that is being asked for in James 1, verses 5 through 8. Indeed, if we have that eternal mindset, receiving everything as an assignment from God and a gift from God, then it is true that the fear of the Lord will be the beginning of our wisdom. There are two ways in which we are not to doubt here. I think the one that we often think of is not doubting that we will receive, that it is God's pleasure to give us wisdom. And that's true. We should be children who expect that our Father is good, that if we ask Him for bread, He's not going to give us rocks to eat, that if we ask Him for fish, He's not going to drop a copperhead in our lap, and that when we ask Him for wisdom, it is His pleasure to give us His Holy Spirit, who is for us a spirit of wisdom, that we would be confident about His willingness. But I'm not sure that confidence about His willingness is the primary form of not doubting that is meant here. Because you look at verse 7 and it says, verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, which is to say that it's our attitude towards wisdom that ought to be stable, that ought to be steady. And I do think it's true that often when things seem to be going well, we're okay with being earthly-minded. It's when we come into that season of trial that we say, oh, I need my heavenly mindedness now to get me through the trial. And once the trial's over, we're back to comfort and pleasure and so forth. I think the point here is that we need the wisdom steadily, whether in trial or not in trial, to use the subject or to relate it to the subject that comes immediately after, so that if we are lowly brothers, that we would glory in the exaltation that is to come. But if we are rich brothers, that we would glory in the fact that any wealth in this world is humiliation by comparison to the exaltation that is to come. And so we ought to be steady in desiring this heart of wisdom that numbers our days, that considers this life a brief opportunity to serve the Lord in this age, to serve the Lord in an age in which we are repenting of sin, in which we are combating sin, evangelizing our unconverted neighbors, being used by God in one another's lives to strengthen each other on the way to glory. All of these things that are, as it were, time-limited gifts and time-limited assignments. We will have unimaginable gifts and serve God unto His glory with a perfection and steadiness of heart for all eternity. But there are certain ways in which God's grace to us in our weakness, in the battle, especially with sin and messengers of Satan, as it were, to quote Paul and his battle in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that those are time limited. And so we should be steady in desiring wisdom in this age, and not to doubt or waver or be unstable in our attitude towards God. In fact, later on in the chapter, it's going to remind us that God is like that towards us, that He is for us a Father of lights who doesn't shift and change. There's no instability. It's always continually steady towards us, God's gracious desire and action to give us everything that is good and everything that is perfect. And we ought to imitate Him in how we live before Him, aiming at steadily giving Him everything that we are, and therefore desiring that heart of wisdom. Well, let us come to the Lord in prayer tonight for that wisdom, knowing that He even uses prayer to make us seek first His kingdom, and to know that He gives us all these other things, and we do make all those requests. But as you notice, we'll be finishing with the Lord's Prayer this evening. That's the model that the Lord Jesus sets for us, isn't it? To set the priorities of the kingdom first, and then to ask for the other things after.